Gilbert from San Gervasi. This is the Rorschach, Georgia update from the 16th of October, 2025. Quick summary of what's going down in Georgia. Georgian Dream, or Kotsebi, is once again passing stricter laws aimed directly at demonstrators. This time they are introducing a 15-day mandatory administrative imprisonment for actions like wearing masks or any face covering during demonstrations, blocking roads completely or partially, and carrying pepper spray during demonstrations. The accused repeats the offense within a year, they will be sentenced to 1 year in prison. Administrative imprisonment has been employed before as well, but for most cases, judges prefer to fine offenders 5,000 lari, which is about $1,800. This fine was also introduced at the beginning of the year specifically to target demonstrators. However, on Tuesday, the 14th, Prime Minister Irakli Kobakhidze said that the fines were not very effective, so they decided to change and update the administrative and criminal law. On the same day, the European Court of Human Rights ruled that Russia must pay Georgia over 253 million euros for human rights violations after the 2008 war between the two countries. Ruling focuses on Russia's borderization in Georgia's occupied regions, Abkhazia and South Ossetia, where fences and barriers erected by the forces cut people off from their homes, farms, and families. More than 29,000 people will receive compensation. Court said Russia used excessive force, detained people illegally, and blocked access to education in Georgia, called the borderization one of the most painful legacies of the war, and confirmed that Russia violated human rights, including life, freedom, property, education, and movement. Last week, we reported that protests organized by the United National Movement, or the Natsebi, and people affiliated with them tried to storm the presidential palace on the 4th of October, the day of the municipal elections. The ruling party called it an attempt to overthrow the legitimate government, while other opposition parties were quick to distance themselves from the event, with former President Salome Zurabishvili calling it a provocation and a farce, which would only empower the ruling party to further repression. While the organizers were quickly arrested, the arrest of other participants continued throughout the week. Authorities said they were processing the video footage and identifying perpetrators. So far, 45 people have been arrested, but this number might increase. Speaking of municipal elections, Alexander Lukashenko, Belarus's autocratic dictator, congratulated Georgia's ruling party for conducting successful elections and achieving an impressive victory. Lukashenko said that the Kotsebi's win shows how responsible, reliable, and professional their team is. He also praised them for strengthening the country's sovereignty and consolidating the society, saying that Belarus aims to deepen friendly ties and cooperation with Georgia. On Monday the 13th, the State Security Service said it carried out a major counterterrorism operation in Ajada region in western Georgia. They conducted raids at five locations, arrested three Georgian citizens. Authorities say the suspects were members of a radical Islamic group and had contacts with senior leaders of the Islamic State abroad. They allegedly planned to help bring Islamic State members illegally into Georgia and use the country as a base for future operations, providing shelter and logistics. During the raids, officers seized explosive, bunch of ammunition and weapons, military gear, and cash in several currencies. State Security Service also had opened an investigation into possible sabotage after pro-government TV channel Imedi went off the air. The channel's broadcast stopped for 45 minutes around 6 p.m. on Monday the 13th. During the same period, two other companies in the same media holding, Maestro and GDS, also experienced an outage. Imedi says it is investigating the cause, has reported the incidents to law enforcement, suggesting the possibility of a criminal act targeting the channel. On a note about crime, police arrested two people for attacking and causing serious injuries to three Polish citizens. The attack happened on Wednesday the 8th at a restaurant in Tbilisi. CCTV footage of the incident shows one of the attackers introducing themselves, shaking hands with one of the victims and acting friendly, before the scene quickly turned into a chaotic brawl. Later, turned out Polish citizens were officers of the Polish Border Guard who were in Tbilisi as part of the mission to deport several Georgians back to their homeland. Both local and Polish news outlets share the news. Check out the video with the link in the show notes. Levon Yoseliani, Georgia's public defender, got involved in a dispute with a Tbilisi gym this week. A Russian citizen complained to the public defender's office after Reformer Fitness refused to give him membership because he wouldn't sign a paper confirming respect for Georgia's and Ukraine's sovereignty. Yoseliani's office asked the gym to provide documentation and explain the policy. Georgi Putkharadze, the gym's director, responded publicly, saying that they have refused service to Russian citizens since Russia invaded Ukraine unless those Russian citizens sign the statement. He added that they also don't serve Georgian police officers who serve a violent regime and that no law can force them to serve anyone they don't want. Putkharadze said he doesn't care if the policy is called discrimination, segregation, or stigma, and that they remain firm in their rules and public stance. The OSCE delegation, led by its current chair, Elina Valtonen, who is also the foreign minister of Finland, visited Georgia on Tuesday the 14th and Wednesday the 15th for some meetings. The delegation visited the conflict line between Georgia and South Ossetia and held a meeting with Georgia's foreign minister. After official meetings, Valtonen attended a pro-European demonstration on Rustaveli Avenue, shared a video on Twitter saying that Georgian citizens are concerned about the direction the country is headed towards. The next day, members of the ruling party criticized her for attending what they called an illegal protest. Prime Minister Irakli Kobakhidze said he canceled the meeting because of it, but Finnish media later reported that Valtonen had already canceled the meeting herself the night before. Police fined Valtonen 5,000 lari, $1,800 US, for blocking the road. Police arrested a man in Zugdidi in western Georgia at a driving examination center. Apparently, this person had already tried and failed to pass the driving test 6 times, and after the final failure, he refused to get out of the car and threatened the instructor with a knife. Fortunately, no one was injured. The police arrested the criminal. He now faces 1 year in prison. More news, a 15-year-old Georgian got arrested twice in Berlin in 1 week. First, he crashed the car he was driving and tried to run away along with his 33-year-old passenger, but witnesses stopped him. Police found stolen jewelry, handbags, wallets, bank cards in the car. Authorities handed the boy to youth services for supervision, but he wasn't there long. A few days later, police went to his apartment, found 3 adults there. One, a 45-year-old, turned out to be his accomplice. The other two men from Moldova, were victims of kidnapping. Authorities are now investigating the boy and adults for kidnapping. Finally, some cultural news. Turkish archaeologists have discovered the tomb of Georgian King Ashot I the Great beneath Petrus and Paulus Church in Kavernik Fortress, which is known as Artjuni Fortress in Georgia, high in the mountains of northeastern Turkey. The vaulted stone chamber, about 2 meters or 6.5 feet long and 1.8 meters or 6 feet wide, was empty, but its location and design match medieval Georgian records, providing the first archaeological proof of Ashot's burial site. Excavation carried out by the Turkish Ministry of Culture and Tourism and Van Yuzguncu Yale University also uncovered a communal kitchen, water cisterns, coins, ceramics, and weapons, showing the fortress had a permanent settlement. Ashot expanded the 5th century fortress in the 9th century, turning it into an administrative center for his kingdom. Artifacts will be displayed at the Artvin Museum in northeastern Turkey. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. Nachondis.